Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together. Right, welcome to another Shaping Portsmouth podcast with me, CEO Dave Humphreys, and today I'm joined by Steve Bailey from Bailey's Buses. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
And so, I mean, obviously the clue's in the name, Bailey and Bailey's Buses, but what exactly is your role at Bailey's Buses?
So I'm responsible for the day-to-day running of the company that Dad started 25 years ago.
So you're managing director?
Yep, yeah. Managing director.
Yeah. So, family-run business, started by your dad, as you say.
Yeah.
What's the story? How did it come about? How did your dad end up starting Bailey's Buses?
So Dad was involved around the area, around the docks many years ago. And in 2000, in August, formed Bailey's Buses Portsmouth Limited, where he was to supply some vehicles to shuttle passengers back and forth off the ferries inside the port. And it steadily grew from there.
So I think there's probably even more of a link back further, isn't there, to the port or the docks and your granddad?
There is. So back in the late 70s, it was granddad that was labour master on the docks. He was responsible for who would work on the day, unloading the freight. And he would pick and choose labour. And he then offered my dad a job. And this was when my mum and dad got married. And dad became one of the dockers, which the actual place isn't too far from where we work now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then subsequently over the period of time, dad was always very much driven in what he wanted to do, and he had various visions about carrying passengers, and worked for various companies, setting up his own businesses. And all of it was always local within the Portsmouth area. So the reputation followed him, and he was always really reliable and had the necessary vehicles in place really quickly to start up Bailey's Buses. And then it just grew from there with the amount of ferries that started coming through and with everybody involved. So it started off just with a couple of buses that he first went and bought for the contract, and it slowly grew from there. And I think I joined in 2003. After I finished with the company that I used to work for, that come through again from my granddad, which was Commodore Shipping.
Right. So also in the dockyard.
Yeah, also in the dockyard.
So I think we can guess from this already that you're Portsmouth born and bred. We've got three generations of Bailey's linked to the
very much linked
to the dockyard already here.
Yeah, so very much so. Brought up locally in Somerstown. Whilst we were working on the dockside, and then moved a couple of times, but not very far. And the work ethic was very much old school, where we would just work, get the job done. I remember at 16 years old, standing on top of one of Commodore Shipping's vessels, which was the Island Commodore, on a Christmas Eve at 5 to midnight. In the snow, you wouldn't get that now. But yeah, just doing the overtime and, you know, to pay my mum and dad the rent. So yeah, you look back, I don't think you really realise until you take time out and have conversations, and you look back to think, you know, what things were like all those years ago, and how far and how you've come to where you are now.
Yeah. I mean, I've only been in Portsmouth since 92, and the changes since then are quite incredible. But, you know, growing up in Somerstown, how did How does that compare now, Somerstown today, to what you grew up in?
It's obviously at different times. The world spins a different way, and you know, you people got different outlooks on life. But very much then, I think everyone looked out for each other. Very much a neighbourhood that would always help each other. Yeah. Really interesting when you look back. I think everyone's work ethic back then was the same, and it was that whole generation of being young and you know, the parents being strict and learning your values that would set you up for the rest of your life. But I think there was a couple of times when you just didn't realize that back then as a young kid. But every Sunday, you know, granddad would take me down to the docks. And I remember 6-7 years old, dangling off the edge and just fishing all day. And so here I am now, 50 years later. And my office window overlooks where I used to fish on a Sunday afternoon.
Nice.
So yeah, really.
It's like full circle.
Yeah, really full circle. And it's it is interesting. So
Obviously, you mentioned that you then worked for Commodore Shipping.
Yeah.
So how did the move into your dad's business come about? What caused you to join the family firm?
So there were a lot of changes that around that particular era. The company was changing dramatically. Although I was responsible for running our depot at Heelsey, we had about 34, 40 staff that I was responsible for, and it was a pretty big going concern. But lots of things were changing in the Channel Islands at the same time, particularly in Jersey at the time. It was apparent that the shape of the company was going to change.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pressure that I was under at the time at the company as well, being the depot manager. So I felt that I had exhausted all those avenues, learned everything that I needed to learn at the time. So with the birth of my youngest daughter, I then decided to get my bus license. And Dad was always looking for willing drivers. So I became one of them, and slowly started to learn the foundations about how that particular business worked. And it was interesting because I was able to carry over what I had learned previously, having worked 22 years for Commodore Shipping. So I had got a vast amount of experience in that area, which I was able to bring to the buses. And we were able to apply some of that and start slowly changing the dynamics of what we do and how we do it and where we do it. So it gradually started to, that was the start of the building blocks, so to speak, that we started to put in place even back then. So back in 2003.
Yeah. So people may have seen Bailey's buses driving around the city.
Yeah.
And kind of wondered, hang on a minute, you know, we see Stagecoach and First Bus doing the routes around the city. Where are the Bailey's stops?
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't work like that for you. What exactly does Bailey's do?
So what we do, we're fundamentally a shuttle service company that work inside the port. But as the port's progressed and got more dynamic, the cruise program that they operate has increased vastly. I remember sitting down and looking at the yearly calendar, and I think we were at between 18 and 22 cruise ships for the year, where the last couple of years we've been lucky enough to entertain the likes of near on 100. So what we do on cruise ship days is, depending on what cruise line it is, and we have some pretty big heavy hitters that the port deal with now, which is really good. So we go out on a daily excursion where we go around Portsmouth City. Sometimes we go to the city centre, Gunwolf Quays, Southsea Castle. We stop at the historical dockyard where we can invite people to go in and see the Mary Rose or HMS Victory. A lot of them go to HMS Warrior. And we also do various other private excursions if required. So it's gone from really, really small building blocks to where we are now. And Portsmouth's really flourishing.
Absolutely. I've only been around in this scene for a couple of years, and I've seen the increase in the you know, just in that time in the cruise market. So yeah. you must have noticed it far more significantly.
I think from the area where I started off at 6-7 years old, sitting on the side of the docks there, so we're 50 years down the road, it's continued to be built properly, which is always important. It's not been any quick dynamic that that people have thought, okay, this will drop off in a couple of years, or you know, this could happen, or the industry could change. But even with everything that everyone's suffering during COVID, we always thought that the momentum was right. And knowing the cities so well, that the vibe was okay. Not so many people were flying. And at the same time, more people were looking to cruise. So, and at that time, there was a lot of new vessels, cruise vessels being built all the way around the world, that were different. They were more dynamic, and they would suit the younger families rather than the clientele that used to be kind of picturesque on a cruise ship, being retired and enjoying, you know, their retirement. It's the actual cruise industry has become more dynamic as well. So we kind of picked up on that vibe, and we built a business model around that, hoping that it would give us some heavy momentum coming out of COVID, and it's worked. We, you know, to a certain extent, as a business, we took some risks. Portsmouth Port has always been very, very good to us, and the reason we're here where we are today is because of them, and other businesses such as Lakeside North Harbour.
So. Lakeside then.
Yeah.
So that's the other place where people might see you.
Yes.
You know, see the buses up there.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Lakeside?
So the Lakeside service ran for a number of years before we even got involved in it.
Right.
I think that it was a service that could have back then benefited from a more bespoke company to deal with it rather than one of the big hitters. So that bespoke company turned out to be Bailey's Buses. Local, no answering machine on the other end of the phone, just a proper phone call away 24/7. And that's what made us more attractive. Dealing with real people, local people that knew the area inside out. So we were lucky enough to gain that contract 7 years ago. And that slowly built up as well, where we operate one bus locally for bringing staff in. So around the Cosham area, the Cosham High Street, the Lido, we'll bring staff in the morning, take staff home in the evening, 5 days a week. And then Lakeside found that during the course of a couple of years, there was more and more people that were working Lakeside that were based in places like the Isle of Wight and Gosport. So they decided to trial an additional service, which became really popular really quickly, and led to us going to buy a double-decker bus and put that on the service. So we called that the Express service, Lakeside Express. And that's now the second service that runs out of Lakeside, again in the mornings and the evenings, that picks people up from the hovercraft and the hard interchange as well. So people both living on the Isle of Wight and Gosport and the surrounding areas in Southsea are now able to travel into work in the mornings, and we take them home in the evenings as well. So again, really steady building blocks, and it's been good business, very good business.
So right at the heart of all of this, we've got a small family run business that's built itself up.
Yeah.
Now that in itself's got to come with its challenges.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the obvious ones, especially I suppose in transport, is the drive towards sustainability, yeah, and you know, green energy, yeah, and stuff.
Yeah.
How does that look for you, sort of moving into the future? How do you deal with that?
We were lucky enough, because of the business model, to be able to pick and choose the type of vehicles we buy that suit the requirements of the port and of Lakeside North Harbour. Now, as we've done that, we've gone through various models. The best being what we found is Mercedes-Benz.
Hmm.
So vehicles were challenging. They still are. They always will be, if you operate a transport company. Euro 6 engines, different types of equipment that they're fitted out with, all that makes them compliant. Any older vehicles, we retrofitted to make those compliant as well. And everything we run is all Euro 6 compliant, with the CAS zone when we enter Portsmouth, because we go through that kind of daily whenever, yeah, any cruise ships are in. So that's always important. And particularly last year was a really good year for us in the way of testing new equipment. So we were lucky enough to demonstrate a brand new Mercedes-Benz electric bus. So we had that in, and we used that for a couple of weeks last year. Mm. It was mainly used around the likes of Virgin Voyages, Brittany Ferries, and Lakeside North Harbour, where we showcased where we are going to be,
yep,
and how we're going to do it. And in fact, electric vehicles suits our business model better than what we're doing at the moment. So we suffer at the moment with our vehicles where they're stop and start, yep, rather than out on the road all day. They have blocked DPF filters and various other issues where they don't get up to temperature, where they need to operate properly. So that's just a case of us managing that going forward. However, when we were using the electric demonstrator bus, we realised it's just plug and play.
Yeah.
You got the app on your phone. You can see how much energy, what the air conditioning temperature is inside the vehicle, how the driver's driving it, if he's accelerating too fast, if he's braking too sharp. Everything's there on an app. So very much the future for us with vehicles.
You become the race controller of a Formula One team. That's with right. All that data.
That's right.
Watching it's, your drivers from your phone app.
Yeah, you're quite right. And it's amazing, yeah, what you can do. You can just sit there and monitor everything, routes, satellite navigation. The bus does everything for you. So
so is that the plan moving forward,
yeah,
then?
Now, that's the plan.
You know, having showcased that,
yeah,
you're looking to bring in,
yeah,
more electric vehicles into the fleet.
We are. It's been it was great to showcase it to the port and Lakeside North Harbour, where it was received with a real interest.
And, I can imagine.
And yeah, for going forward to be using it in Portsmouth City, it'd be where we need to be as a company. So it's not just about celebrating the 25 years that we've had, is about planning for the next 10, 15 yeah, years as well, about what we're going to be using, how we're going to be using it. So really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Really interesting. And of course, with Portsmouth International Port being the most carbon neutral in the world,
2030,
yeah. Completely neutral.
Yeah.
But yeah, it kind of fits with the ethos of the environment you're working in. So
exactly, yeah.
I'm guessing the port are quite keen for you to make that transition.
Yeah, we've even got a charge point right outside our office, so we could put the bus there, put it on charge. The ethos that the port have got for where they want to be not only fits in with the carbon neutral side with us, but also matches the investment that they've made with the new cruise terminal as well. To be welcoming the likes of Virgin Voyages, Fred Olsen, Viking, to name but a few of the big, you know, cruise lines that are going to visit Portsmouth. And we're going to get these passengers, and we are doing so now, into the parts of Portsmouth where they can support the local economy and make a real difference. Mm. So really exciting.
And definitely. And I mean, obviously we run the cruise passenger meet and greet program. So we work quite closely with your team up at the port.
Yeah.
But your bus service, which the port provides for free to the passengers, so there's no charge to those visiting passengers.
That's right, complimentary.
Which makes it a real advantage, especially as there is so much to do and see in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
So passengers are less inclined to go off on tours to other places.
Yeah, exactly.
It really complements what we're trying to do in terms of keeping that spend in the local economy.
Yeah.
Because you're providing that really key connection from the port to those attractions.
Yeah, and what we've found working with the port, particularly over the last couple of years, is that what's happened is a lot of the passengers that have booked pre-excursions that are going out and about will go out in the morning, they come back lunchtime, have their lunch, and then hop on the complimentary service that we provide, and vice versa.
Hmm.
So the passenger, when they come for a call into Portsmouth, they're getting the best of both worlds. Hmm. They're getting to see Portsmouth in all its entirety. And there's so much to see. I mean, it begs wonder. You couldn't fit it all in one day.
Hmm. No, you can't.
No, you can't so much to see. And there's so much history there.
Hmm.
And we're big on our staff, feeding that down to the passengers. And not only in directing them in the right directions and telling the passengers what's on offer, but why and what was there before and how it came to be built. And, you know, so much, so many historic buildings, historic ships, and so much to see. So many, many years ago, Portsmouth, we felt was undersold.
Yeah.
And now we're working alongside the port, Lakeside North Harbour, shaping Portsmouth. And it's just great to see it all starting to become so clear how much we can show people.
And obviously, so link to that, and I suppose going back to the point we were originally talking about, which was sort of challenges to you as a small business, but particularly as a bus company, infrastructure in the city, particularly the road network and where bus lanes are and that.
Yep.
That's got to be quite key. And we've seen lots of improvement over recent years, but there's probably still a lot more that can be done.
Yeah, still a lot more to go. I mean, you know, many, many bus lanes, many, many cycle lanes, many road works. And over the years, we've seen some major roads start to work. It's made it a lot easier for us, but there's still a long way to go. And I think as we progress going forward, the island's getting no smaller.
No.
And
no bigger even.
No bigger, yeah. So more people using the road in whatever way they do. So, yeah, very challenging on cruise days. But we have timetables issued so the passengers can see where we're going, where we're calling into, what times we're doing that. And pretty much nearly all of the time we're okay, and there's there's plenty of room, plenty of scope to give that personal service. Even if we see someone, we've never ever left a passenger behind.
Never.
I've even gone down in my personal vehicle and picked a passenger up that was due to miss the cruise ship. But I've gone down, picked them up. I said, you know, the port don't know about it. No one knows about it. It's just something we can do.
Yeah.
And it, that's what makes us different.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's the advantage of of being the size you are and that personal service, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that's why smaller local businesses are sometimes so much better.
Yeah. But,
so, I mean, one of the other big challenges for you as an operator must surely be, especially when, you know, a big portion of what you're doing is that port work, is the ad hoc nature of it.
Yeah.
Because certainly we know from the volunteer rostering that that ships can be cancelled at the drop of a hat.
Yeah,
but also
sure
they turn up at a drop of a hat. You know, you think, how do people not know about this one? But, you know, something happens in another port and suddenly they divert to Portsmouth.
That's right.
Weather problems or all sorts. We see passengers turn up completely unexpectedly at times.
Yeah.
How challenging is that in terms of particularly employing and rostering staff when, you know, you don't know that you're going to be able to offer every day of the week or whatever? How difficult does that make it for you?
We're lucky. We've never really missed a beat. It's really challenging because there can be times when I'll take my memory back to the ash cloud.
Oh, yeah.
That people don't necessarily remember that quickly or weren't around then even. But, all the flights were cancelled.
Yeah.
And everyone jumped on a ferry and Portsmouth didn't really know about it until everyone turned up. But we dealt with it. Yeah. It's challenging in the ways of having the right people around you in the way of staff, drivers, operation managers. As I say, we're always on the other end of the phone. And we found that every day is different. So it's just being ready for the unusual. We know that working in the industry we're in, where bus transport meets marine, we know that we're that buffer.
Yep.
And it creates, we know what's going to go wrong before it goes wrong now.
Yeah.
And we've known that for a few years now. Yes, weather can divert a cruise. All of a sudden it's getting those reliable staff members in. A lot of it can be, you know, very, very short notice, as you said.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, it can also happen with the ferries where they're cancelled or they're late or they're early. So it's all a case of all the drivers have an app, a boat watch app, so they can see a live stream of where the boats are that are working. That helps. So modern technology helps. But a lot of it is very much old-fashioned, keeping your ear to the ground and monitoring what's going on out there.
And then, obviously, you work quite closely with our meet-and-greet volunteers, Vanessa and the team in the port.
Yeah, the team.
Who, you know, I can't say enough
good
stuff about. But how do you find working with them?
Yeah, really, really good. It's good to make those connections. It's good to share the enthusiasm about Portsmouth City and what we can offer. We're really excited, especially we've built up this over some time now, this relationship. It's only going to get better. We see it being a real positive going forward. So we love it.
Definitely. We do love our cruise passenger volunteers. Yeah. They do an amazing job.
They do.
So, and in fact, the way, you know, the two services, the free shuttle buses and the volunteers complement each other is fantastic. Makes Portsmouth a great place to visit for a cruise passenger.
It sure does.
So you've mentioned it once already, just in passing earlier, but this year is the 25th anniversary of Bailey's Buses.
Yes.
So 25 years ago this month that your father gave up taxi driving and started his own business as a bus operator.
Yeah.
But what does the anniversary mean to you as a business? Why is it so special?
It's special because we've been able to support all those people along the way, whether they're customers, members of staff, the port, Lakeside North Harbour. It's special because we're able to and have been able to showcase Portsmouth all those years and where we're local. Portsmouth means everything to us. It's where we've been born and grown up, and you know, things are looking bright, and the company deserves father deserves all the credits. He stuck at it during some tough times, you know, the first 3 years, no time off at all, working solid. 80 years old, you know, the other day, still coming in, even at weekends, yeah. Still coming in, still telling me off when,
good.
You know, I have an hour off a week. Yeah. But yeah, the drive behind that, it's interesting to see how it switched. So I'm kind of asking him to do bits and pieces where he loves to keep busy.
Yeah.
So yeah, all those special things worth celebrating. And we were lucky enough to have some of the older drivers join us as well that's worked for us over the years. But yeah, sharing some special, challenging, difficult, but enjoyable times. Yeah. And yeah, it was really good.
And what does the future look like? The next generation of Baileys,
the next
business,
generation,
maybe?
Yeah,
is
the
there,
next
is
generation.
There a connection there?
There is. So the next generation looks at as if it will be one of the daughters picking up the reins. Having worked and got some experience for a year or two, she's already prepped, although she doesn't know it just yet, but right. She's already prepped.
Let's just hope she doesn't listen.
Yeah, that's right.
But give the game away.
Yeah, no, she knows. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be there. It's going to be the family name still. So yeah, it's looking good. Looking good.
Brilliant. Great local success story. You know, family business, three generations. Yeah. Of Baileys working in the dockyard, and you know, whether that's on the dockyard side of it or the buses, soon to be, you know, the fourth generation coming in. So yeah, fantastic, absolutely fantastic, great local success story. So huge congratulations
thank
on
you.
the 25th Appreciate anniversary, and you know, thank you for all the great work that you and the whole team, your drivers and everyone, because I know the volunteers that we work with can't speak highly enough about your drivers.
Yeah.
So, you know, all really great, really appreciate it. But before we end our podcast, we always like to ask the person we're talking to make a recommendation of somewhere to go, something to do, a little hidden gem,
a little hidden gem.
Portsmouth.
Something in Portsmouth.
You obviously, you know, grown up in the city, you know it intimately.
Yep.
What would be your top tip of somewhere to go?
Top tip would be somewhere Grandad went, somewhere Dad goes with me on a Friday evening at Old Portsmouth down by the Camber side there. So it's the restaurant and public house, the A Bistro. Used to be known as the American Bar.
Yeah.
So many a story told down there by people who used to know my family well. Every Friday night, Dad and I have a catch up, business chat, and we usually have it in there. So top tip, great food. Great atmosphere and great people.
It is, actually. I've eaten in there. It's lovely.
Yeah.
And you've got a nice sort of pub feel at the front.
Yeah.
And then the restaurant at the back. You've got the best of both there, right opposite the fish market.
That's right.
On a nice sunny day, you can sit out the front, have a pint there, watch the
Perfect.
Fish
Perfect.
Being marketed out there. It's lovely.
Great atmosphere.
Yeah. On the camber, as you say, a really, really great little Portsmouth gem.
Yes, so, definitely. No, definitely.
Great recommendation. Well, it's been great chatting to you, Steve.
Thanks
for coming in. Thanks for all you're doing to support the cruise passenger program and our volunteers. And, you know, it'd be great to see another 25 years of Baileys buses in the city.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Perfect.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery.